time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 19th of September 2015. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, and it's brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery, who you'll find at 102 Oceanview Road, Onirua. On Saturday the 19th of September, Brent Simpson talked to Lance Driver from the Waiheke Comedy Club about their new open mic night. He played recordings of the Pirinako Performing Arts Group performing at the Waiheke High School Matariki Festival, and he talked to Bernard Rhodes about the reconstruction of the boat, the Kate, and the Waiheke Working Sail Project.
And now I'm going to talk to Mr. Lance Driver about the comedy, the open mic comedy nights that are going to be starting up at the Artworks Theatre. Are you there, Lance? Are you around? No, you're sort of not. Let me try that
Brent,
one.
Hello, hello.
There we go.
Good morning, Brent.
Got all the buttons and knobs in the right place for you, which I'm sure you'd appreciate.
Yes, I appreciate that.
So, how's it going?
Very good, very well.
Yeah.
Keeping busy?
Yeah. When you came into the studio this morning, I think you're getting taller.
No.
I'm pretty sure.
Stop the growing a wee while ago now. But if I had a dollar for everyone to ask me how tall I am,
yeah, I guess
and if I do play basketball,
yeah,
and asking it like it's an original question, yeah, and expecting a response,
a unique answer that you hadn't canned over the many years of your. Maybe I'm just shrinking, which you suggested is quite possibly. It's probably more likely, really.
Possibly true.
But so apart from getting taller, you're involved in the Waiheke comedy scene, pretty much, and you've got this new thing going on. You want to tell us a little bit about what's going to be coming up? How's this going to all work?
Well, yeah, we started with my involvement in the Waiheke comedy show, which is people are probably quite familiar with by now. We've put on quite a few shows. I've been involved for probably about 8 months. Had about 3 shows under my belt, which is a fantastic experience with the improv theatre side of things. And we have improv theatre and also stand-up comedy. And then we have a headline act who comes over. The last person was Ben Hurley. Mm. And they're tremendous shows. And to be in front of an audience, I first joined the group just to be part of the group and have a bit of fun with comedy,
yeah,
never imagining myself to be on stage. But I had a bit of a taste of that with a surprise. I was dragged on stage for The Vicar of Dibley quite suddenly.
Right.
And the audience is invigorating and energising,
yep,
and it's an amazing experience to be on stage, something that I've never imagined up to that point. And coming off The Vicar of Dibley after it was a 1 week whirlwind of here's the script, bang, you're on stage, and it was all over 7 days later.
Yeah.
I then said to Keith, who organises the improv Waiheke comedy shows, that I definitely want to be on the stage.
Right.
And being on stage with that improv, and we did an island tour as well. We went around all the halls on Waiheke Island, and it was absolute hoot. And we had a tremendous turnout locally for that island tour. And 3 shows later, and we're hungry for an audience, as a troupe, as a group,
yeah.
And Waiheke as well. There's a lot of interest from people who want to be part of the improv scene,
yeah.
Join in with the games that we play in the evenings, and get up and do some stand up, which doesn't really work if you've never done it before, to just jump up on stage and join in,
right?
Because it's a big step, and the people are paying, you know, they're paying a ticket fee at the door, so they want to have a polished, entertaining evening.
Sure, yeah.
And that's where the Tuesday night sort of came around. So what we're doing is we're putting together a Tuesday night show on the last Tuesday of every month, with the first show being the last Tuesday of this month, the 29th. The idea is that it's doors open at 7 with the bar, and 7:30 we're on stage, and there's there's 15 to 20 5 to 10 minute slots, which is going to be a mix of both improv and stand-up. And they're going to be new improv games and involving people that may not have done improv before. So if you want to have a turn at improv and also stand-up, because we have our regular stand-up, local stand-up comedians who have the experience of stand-up and have been on stage before. But this is a springboard where you might have a funny skit, or you might be from Toastmasters.
Yep.
You have you have something that you think is comedic and is going to be a bit of a laugh.
Yep.
5 minutes would be a good length of time. And yeah, you come on the night, 7 o'clock, put your name down on the board that you want to be involved in improv games. There'll be a limited slot available of 2 to 4 people for improv, and there'll be a slot, maybe 5 or 6 slots for stand up. And yeah, you can get up and have a go, and there'll be the improv games, as I say, and we've also got a musician playing before the show and during, so should be a good night.
So give me an example of like a improv game, and are these things sort of tried and true sort of things that people use as a stepping stone towards feeling comfortable, being witty, or what's the kind of example of an improv game?
Well, improvised theatre has been around since the 70s, I think. I've only been involved, as I say, for the last 8 months. But what it is is a group of people who have total trust in each other, which is a big component of improvised theatre. You can't jump on stage with someone that you don't know. And who doesn't? Well, you can jump on stage with someone that you don't know, as long as they have the improv background, where, you know, the classic line is yes, please, yes, let's, yes, and. Basically, if someone has an idea, you take that idea and you run with it.
Yeah.
If you've got an idea when you jump on stage and you're going to wash the dishes and vacuum and whatever your skit, you've got it all planned out in your head, and someone else says, oh, what's that noise?
Yeah.
Well, suddenly, okay, then you've got to investigate that noise.
Right.
Or, goodness me, that's a lovely looking cake on the bench. And then suddenly the whole scene has changed. So it literally is improvised. It runs as you go. You get, especially when you get feedback from the audience.
You know,
it might be a line of dialogue or a situation, and it truly is improvised, and it's very fast.
Right. Yeah. I mean. So how do you? I mean, I suppose the best way to start this kind of stuff is you go and watch a bunch of them, and this is also a good opportunity for you to watch some of this stuff before you might actually have a crack at it. I mean, how did you? Your first. What about your first? You'd watched a few before you jumped up.
I was brought up in the 80s watching Whose Line Is It Anyway?
And you also come from a little bit of a dramatic family, don't you, to some extent?
Yeah,
your brother's an actor, and is that something that played a part in your youth as well? Or
I used to go to a lot of my brother's theatre.
Yeah,
he used to have a fantastic evening at the Watershed Theatre back in the 90s.
Okay.
And that was on at 11 o'clock at night every Friday night. 11 o'clock because the theatre wasn't being used.
Yeah.
If there was a set on the stage, they would use that. And that's the idea of our comedy as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Being a Tuesday night, the theatre won't be used, but there might be a set on the stage, and we'll use that within our improvised theatre or with the stand-up or whatever. But that was a tremendous thing every Friday night, 11 o'clock, and it was sort of long form improvised theatre, and it was just this crazy story with guest actors. You know, they had Willie DeWitt and different Shorten Street stars had come on, and you know, it was all very fast and heavy pace, and that was a fantastic introduction for me for theatre sports.
That
style. It wasn't theatre sports because that's a whole umbrella industry almost, with licensing and all sorts. But it's improvised theatre is quite freeing, where you can, there are no rules.
Yeah.
So it's quite crazy.
And so you weren't tempted back then?
Well, my brother was the actor.
Right. So,
I was the builder.
Yeah,
my brother
was
the actor.
Right.
And I never gave it a thought.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's funny how that kind of often works out like that. You go, I'm not going to be good at that because he's really good at that. As if it's sort of parceled out, like one brother's really good at this and the other one's really good at this. Like, some of my brother's a chef and I always thought, oh, I'm never going to try and cook.
Yeah.
Well, he got all the cooking genes.
I can imagine that, yeah. Yeah, and you sort of think, well, he's the chef, so that's it. And that's yep, exactly that's how it was with the acting. I never gave it a thought.
And now, how do you feel about it? And so now you're quite excited about this. You've only been able to 8 months, right?
About 8 months. Yeah.
And you're sort of organizing. Are you organizing this, did you start this? So this thing's actually quite different than the really produced Ben Hurley shows.
That's right.
Fairly informal. It's a Koha entry. Correct.
That's right. Yeah. So the show that Keith organises, which are the every 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
The next one's on the 7th of November, I think it is.
So they're looking at about 4 shows a year for those.
That's right. Yep. That's right. And we saw it. We're sort of in a pool as far as who gets chosen to do the improv because there's 11 in the group.
Yeah.
And then some of us will be doing stand up, and some of us will be doing the improv games.
Right.
And it's all very formulaic and it's very polished.
Yeah.
And you know, only the people with experience sort of get to go up on the stage those shows. Yeah. So that's where the Tuesday show came about. You know, it's not so polished. It's a little bit raw.
Yeah.
If you want to do some stand up, I mean, you are genuinely welcome to get up on stage and have a go.
Mm.
Even if you might have a skit or something like that. You might be a senior at high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have some comedic skit that you want to show an audience.
So you could come up with a small group, I suppose, as well.
That's
if you
right.
had a skit with a couple of people.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So so we're open to anything. Basically, the only prerequisite is it's got to be comedy.
Yeah.
We want to make the audience laugh. And,
is this something? I mean, it seems like you mentioned that. It seems to have grown in stature around the island. Is it something that this, you know, you find even in town is incredible? There's a comedy festival in town that seems to be fairly successful. But is it something that I don't know? Is there some reason why comedy is on the rise, or is life too depressing now that we need to fill it with funny people?
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure. I think comedy's always been there, though, hasn't it? I mean, you know, if you can make a girl laugh and give her a good meal, you're on. you're in with a grin, aren't you? So, I think comedy's always been a big part of the scene.
Mm.
I was lucky enough to get across to the mainland and see Snort. And they do improvised theatre every week in the old Silo Theatre.
Oh, yeah.
Can't remember, backstage, or I can't remember what it's called now.
Yeah.
But they're an incredibly slick group of improvisers. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
so
seeing
that and that they do it weekly, that's where I sort of thought, well, we should be able to do it monthly.
Yeah.
And I think the audience on Waiheke is a very kind audience.
Yeah.
Very supportive. And yes, Koha at the door, so there's not that expectation for, you know, for it to be polished.
Yeah.
But it'll still be tremendously entertaining, and I am really excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So the first one's this month. It's on Tuesday?
Tuesday the 29th.
Tuesday the 29th.
So the last Tuesday of every month.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's easy to remember. Last Tuesday of every
last
month.
Last Laughs.
And that's what you're calling it, is it?
Yeah, Last Laughs Tuesday night comedy.
Nice.
And the idea is that the doors will stay open, so you don't have to get there for doors closing at 7:30.
Right, yeah.
So you can get there at 8 o'clock, you can get there at 8:30. The doors will stay open, the bar will stay open, and we'll have cabaret-style tables in there. So come in early to secure a stage-side table. And you can get up and get another drink or go to the toilet or, you know, go outside to the bar and have a chat with a mate if you want to during the show.
And you see this as a way of possibly finding some talent that might, you know, come through the ranks?
Well, we need to grow our comedy group.
Yeah.
As I say, there's 11 of us.
Yeah.
But we're, you know, a mixed group of people. I mean, we're doing it all for free. We're doing it because we love it.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a desire to slowly grow our group with people who are, you know, fun and committed to having, you know, to enjoying this type of outgoing therapy.
And there's often a relationship between starting off in comedy and then kind of going into acting as well. So I suppose,
well, perhaps, I'm not sure. I'm not an actor.
Yeah.
You know, I've
you sure now?
No, I've done just this improv, and the rest of it, the people in our group, I don't believe are actors. They've just got into this. They're doing stand up for the for the second, third time they've done it. We've got some fabulous people in the Waiheke comedy group show, but this is quite different. And we're also hoping to offer improvised theatre training, like classes almost.
Right, that sounds
like a couple of times a year.
So there are strategies that you can use for this stuff. I mean, it's sort of, there's, I mean, I saw you actually had, someone had some classes a while ago on this, didn't they? Or there have been classes in the past on stand-up and improv.
Keith has run a couple of classes, and that's where a lot of our group has come from, actually. The genesis of it was Keith doing a bit of a workshop, that's where the start of the journey began, I suppose.
So you started off on a workshop yourself?
No, I was dragged along by...
Oh, you're the Dibley, Dibley thing.
Yeah, so I was someone, Lisa Garrity, we were on the school board together at Waiheke Primary School.
That's not that funny.
It wasn't that funny, but but we found the odd moment to have a bit of a smile, a bit of a giggle with each other. And she joined up to Keith's classes.
Yeah.
And I was emceeing the Waiheke Primary School Fair with Lisa.
Yeah.
And Lisa said, "What are you doing? Well, you know, you're a funny guy. You shouldn't, keep your day job, but come and get involved in some comedy." And a couple of times she reminded me that she was wanting me to get involved, and I did. And it's really fun.
Oh, that's good. I mean, because it's interesting that sort of something can just come out of the blue like that, you know. And now you're kind of wrapped in it, you know.
Yeah, well, that's it. Totally unexpected.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's
because when people think of Lance Driver, they don't really think funny guy. They think, you know, tall guy.
Tall guy. Yeah. So. Tall guy lurking around on Eroa.
Tall guy lurking around, yeah. There's a house behind there somewhere with a tall guy in it. Well, that's awesome, Lance, and I wish you guys all the best. And like Lance mentioned, it's going to be Tuesday the 29th of September at 7 p.m. And if you're interested in trying to get up there, presume you come along a little bit early, put your name down.
That's right. We'll have a list, and you get in there at 7 and say that you're keen, and we'll put you on the list. First in, first serve.
Yep, or if you just want to come along and watch and see how it goes and maybe pique your interest, that's a Kohara entry as well. It's a good deal, and it's lovely hanging out at Artworks, so especially as it starts getting a bit warmer. And I'd be looking forward to that, actually, over the summer. It should be a nice night. Yeah.
We've also got a live musician playing from 7.
Oh, yeah.
And she'll be coming out during the evening as well. Yeah, so like the idea being that we get some local musicians.
Some other talent, and presumably the bar's open, so you grab a wine or something.
Absolutely.
Also, if you're interested, there's a couple of one of the eternal DJs on our radio, Mr. Dougal, a.k.a. CU Jimmy, does the comedy show on Sunday nights. He often records a lot of these things, and he puts up lately the last podcast up on the website is the Waiheke Comedy Show, which has a couple of local comedians, three local comedians, Emma Bowyer, Forrest Denise, and Mr. CU Jimmy himself is up as a podcast on the... so if you want to hear some of the local comedians, you can visit our website at www.waihikiradio.org.nz to look out for the Waiheke Comedy Show podcasts, and he may even record a few of these things. You never know what Dougal is.
Well, Dougal will be on. He's one of the stand-ups tonight. So,
I've never actually heard Dougal do stand-up. I've known him for a long time. He's a great guy, and he's just naturally sort of funny. You know, he's one of the most funny guys I've ever met, actually. Funny-looking and funny... personality, funny accent too, actually, come to think of it. And so that'd be, I'd love to go. So I haven't actually seen him do anything like stand up, so I'd be keen to go along. Yeah,
there's your chance, Brent. There's your chance, yeah.
Good. Well, thanks, Lance. Appreciate you coming in, having a chat with us, and we'll catch up again some point and get an update on how it's all going.
Awesome.
And make sure you look out for that Tuesday the 29th is the first one. What are you guys calling it again?
Tuesday Night Comedy.
All right, Lance.
Last Laughs, Tuesday Night Comedy.
Cool. Thanks a lot. Lance Driver from the Comedy Club, promoting the Last Laughs improv comedy stand-up on Tuesday night. Last Tuesday night of the month.
Waikiki Radio.
Speaking of the Piranakau performance on Tuesday, which is Te Hekenga Nui, the Great Migration, there's going to be songs and dances from a variety of genres, not just Maori dances. They're also doing dances from other Pacific Islands as well. Piranakau Performing Arts Group is quite quite a stunning group, actually, of young performers. And a couple of months ago, I managed to record these guys as part of the Matariki Festival at Waiheke High School. So I thought in order to drum up some support for those guys, I'll play a little bit. The first couple of things I recorded were the Piranakau Performing Arts Group performing the Legends of Maui, which was their last performance. These things are also part of their NCEA assessment as well. And this is part of an overall podcast about Matariki at Waiheke High School. There's a little bit of an introduction onto what Matariki is at the high school, and then the Piranakau Performing Arts Group. So I thought we'd have a listen to that for a little while. And then at 11:30, Bernard Rhodes is going to come in to talk about his project and a talk that he'll be giving up here in Artworks in a few days' time. But here's some stuff from Matariki celebrations at Waiheke High School featuring the Piranakau Performing Arts Group. Matariki is the Maori name for the small cluster of stars also known as the Pleiades, or the Seven Sisters in the Taurus constellation. In Aotearoa, it comes into view low in the northeastern horizon, appearing in the tail of the Milky Way in the last days of May or in early June just before dawn. This event heralds the Maori New Year. Matariki literally means the eyes of God, Matariki, or little eyes, Matariki. Some say that when Ranga Nui, the Sky Father, and Papatua Nuku, the Earth Mother, were separated by their offspring, the god of the winds, Tawhirimatea, became angry, tearing out his eyes and hurling them into the heavens. Others say Matariki is the mother surrounded by her six daughters. One account explains that Matariki and her daughters appear to assist the sun, Te Ra, whose winter journey from the north has left him weakened. Matariki at Waiheke High School is celebrated for most of the month of June. The festivities are prepared by the learning of new waiata and the introduction of older waiata and the school haka to new students. This festive time at the school also includes performance by the Piranakau Māori Performing Arts Group. This year's performance was entitled The Legends of Maui and took place at a packed Waiheke High School Hall on the 23rd of June 2015.
Te tangi o te kereu, e noho ana i o toi te mahe.
ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for our Piringaka Kapahaka of 2015.
That was a recording of the. Oh, they're still going a little bit. That was a recording of the Piranakau Performing Arts Group from the Waiheke High School from Matariki, so a couple of months ago now. This sounds a bit strange, actually. Oh, there we go. And you can, if you want to listen to the entire podcast of that, make sure you go to waihikiradio.org.nz. Just search for Matariki and you'll find the podcast that sort of chronicles the Matariki celebrations at Waiheke High School. But that first bit there was the Piranakau Performing Arts Group.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
I've got Bernard Rhodes in the studio at the moment, so we're going to have a chat to Bernard about a couple of projects that he's involved in at the moment. Why does that sound sort of funny to me? Something's going on here, but I'm not quite sure what it is. We're going to have a chat with Bernard about what's going on with a couple of his projects. Good afternoon, Bernard. Good morning, Bernard. I suppose it's still morning. How are you doing?
Yeah. Yes. Good. Thank you.
I ran into a neighbour of mine, as you do on Waiheke, and his name is Alex Balfour, and he was selling some raffle tickets for a project that you guys are doing around the reconstruction of a boat called the Kate, I understand. And so I thought, I think I'd heard of this project. It's been going on for a few years now, if I remember correctly, and I'd heard of it before. I thought, oh, it might be a good opportunity to get you into the studio to get an update on what's going on with the project. And, you know, you're raising some money, so it's obviously got a bit of momentum, and just catch up with what you're doing. So welcome.
Thank you. Yes.
So tell us a little bit about this the project. It's you guys are called, your organization is called the
Waiheke Working Sail.
Working Sail, that's right.
Yes, that's right. Yes, it was set up. There was some talk of trying to bring organic food cargo to Waiheke under sail, but that's not really a very practical proposition these days. But to have a sailing ship for the island, the main use for it would be youth training. I've done some work on the Spirit of New Zealand as a volunteer and found it the most satisfying work I've ever done.
Taking
these youngsters who really are just out discovering the world for themselves and giving them a chance to discover their potential, to find their challenge themselves, and learning living together in a confined space, learning about sailing and the sea, being close to nature. I think in this age where it's increasingly people live in cyberspace and in a digital world, it's very important that you get close to nature. So the Kate became available. She's been on the beach in Ostend there for many years and uses a houseboat and in various stages of reconstruction and then falling apart again. When we rescued her, she was lying on her side full of water and the engine had gone under and all the sump oil had spread itself all around inside the boat, making a slippery, sticky black mess.
Yeah.
And, we took her over, bought her cheap, and we've now, we're about 20% of the way through the reconstruction of the boat, restoration, and converting her into a little sail training ship for the young people of Waiheke. Last summer, we had her out of the water for 3 months. The boating club kindly let us have free use of the hardstand there, and we stripped her right back and dug out all of the rot, and we've got the frames on this boat are made of grown Pohutukawa branches.
Wow.
And we, thanks to Island Tree Care, we were given some Pohutukawa branches that had fallen down in Rocky Bay.
Yeah.
And we were given some kauri for the planking.
Yeah.
And we have two apprentices, Tom and Joe, who are working with us there, and we had a big push and got the whole of the hull restored, basically, as good as new, right up to deck level. And last February, we relaunched her, and she didn't leak a drop.
Right.
We were so pleased.
It's a good sign, I suppose, when you're rebuilding a boat. It's not... How big is this boat? I mean, it looks fairly...
In feet, she's 35 feet long.
Yeah.
She's actually been shortened at some point. This originally, the stern of the boat was a beautiful elliptical shape, what they call a counter stern. But at some stage in the past, that's been sawn off, probably because it went rotten.
Okay.
And a rather ugly flat stern put across there, which is rather badly done. So our next stage of the project is to rebuild the stern as original, and then she'll be about 37 feet long.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was... this boat has a bit of history around Waiheke, or is it... do you know much?
Originally she was built on the Kaipara Harbour near Dargaville.
Okay.
We have the original builder's nameplate, E. Thompson and Sons, we think 1898.
Wow.
And she was a pure sailing boat. Of course, engines hadn't been introduced in those days. They'd barely been invented.
Yeah.
And she was a workboat carrying cargo around the Kaipara Harbour. She'd have been the equivalent of your pickup truck today before there were any roads.
Right, yeah.
Taking cargo to the farms, taking a cow to market, bringing loads of firewood, milk, butter, cream, passengers, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all carried by sea in those days,
right,
and all working under sail using the tides.
Yeah.
Mm. And in 1911, she had an engine fitted, and she was a tugboat there towing kauri logs out to the sailing ships for export to Australia.
Still up in the Kaipara?
In the Kaipara, yes. And then later on, she was a fishing boat for many years, then a yacht, and then a houseboat on Waiheke for many years. So now she has a new role, still a workboat, definitely, but... The sail training, it's not teaching people to sail. The boating club does that very well.
Yeah.
It's teaching about life, really. Learning to sail is a way of learning about leadership and courage and initiative and cooperation, these sorts of qualities that are so useful in life. Yeah.
So how many of you are involved in this restoration? How many are in the sail, the charitable trust? How does that sort of...
There are six trustees, and we have a committee consisting of the trustees plus a secretary-treasurer and several helpers, including Alex Balfour, who works on publicity.
Yep.
Yes. And so it's a sort of loose committee that is a core committee.
Yep.
And we have an email list of about 110 people who've signed up to be supporters.
Yeah.
And, and we're calling on them now.
Right, and so how many, you've got a couple of youth who are working on this at the moment, and you presumably are open to other people coming in. And
yes, at present, most of the work on it is quite skilled.
And, yeah, yeah.
I would dearly love to be able to bring some high school kids after school and so on. There's a snag that we don't have any premises, and even any shed that we did have would have to be up to OSH standards and so on.
Yeah.
So... While we're repairing the boat, there's if there are some youngsters who are potentially keen boat builders and like working with their hands and so on,
it'd
be nice to meet them and come along. But we can't do anything very formal or in bulk at the moment until we can get some sort of a shed to work in.
Right.
Yeah.
So you anticipate the project sort of really taking off when the boat is active, in the water, and that's when you can...
That's right. There's two phases to it. One is the restoration of this boat.
Yeah.
She's a part of our heritage. There are only three boats left of this type now, and one of them, the old Ray, was stuck in the Maritime Museum. She'll never float again.
Right, yeah.
So in terms of how the pioneers used to get around, it'd be just great to teach young people this part of our history.
Yeah, yeah.
So the restoration of the boat's one thing, and then it's the youth development voyages that we hope to do, much along the lines of the Spirit of New Zealand, but on a smaller scale.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's... I've seen a couple... You sent me through some documents on the project, there's a couple of pictures here, presumably of similar sized boats, and it's rather impressive under sail. So, how many sails do you actually have on this thing?
When she's fully rigged up, she'll be carrying four sails. Yes,
right.
She's a cutter, which means you have two head sails, and a gaff mainsail, and then a topsail for light winds.
And how many people would you sort of get on a boat like that to kind of man the thing?
I designed the accommodation for six trainees, and a master and a mate, each of whom will have a private cabin. It'll be a squeeze, but that's part of the experience,
Yes. Well, it looks like a fantastic project. So at the moment, you're about 20% of the way through the restoration, and presumably there's a lot of elbow grease, but there's also costs involved. And at the moment, you're trying to fundraise for some money at the moment?
Yes, that's right. We've got two projects going. We're running a raffle.
Yep.
We've got some lovely prizes. The first prize is a trip for two to Coromandel and a ride on the Driving Creek Railway there.
Lunch
for two at the Umo Cafe. We've got lunch for two at the Casita Miro Cafe, a trip to Rangitoto with Fuller's, a trip on the America's Cup yachts with Explore, and also a return trip to Barrier for two, just the tickets only.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how could someone get a hold of one of these tickets at the moment? I know Alex came around to my house, but...
Right. Well, you can get in touch with myself during the last week, but the big occasion to buy them will be the show that I'm putting on next Friday, the slideshow, which is another story altogether.
But we will talk about that. So, so anything else about the Kate that you'd like to share with us?
Just that I want her to be the feeling that she's owned by the community.
Yeah.
You know, you bought a $5 raffle ticket, or you come to the show, you put some money in.
Yeah.
We hope to have her moored in a prominent position on the causeway there, so everyone can see her. And she's kind of an icon for the island, the community spirit on the island, and what makes Waiheke special.
Has it always been called the Kate, or is the name? So the name is also a legacy as well.
Name,
oh, nice.
It's never been changed.
Right. Yes. Any story behind that that you know of?
That's
great. Yeah, it would be awesome to sort of see you have it a little bit out front in the down on the causeway, because you'd get a little bit more interest that way. People see this thing and know that it's being built. So you're raising money at the moment through the raffle, and you're also giving a talk on... The talk's coming up fairly soon, isn't it?
Friday the 25th, next Friday, actually.
Okay.
At Artworks Theatre, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Friday. Yes, that's right. Friday the 25th at 7 p.m. Artworks Theatre. And you're going to be talking about your account at the Mururoa. This is presumably the Mururoa Atoll, 1973. You want to tell us a bit about that?
Yes, well... that was at the stage where the French were testing their bombs in the atmosphere, hanging the bomb from a balloon up above the atoll and blowing them off. And the radiation was being detected in New Zealand in cow's milk, in sheep's thyroid glands, and around South America everywhere.
Yeah.
And the outrage was growing. And I had already sailed through French Polynesia in my own little boat some years before and got to know the people there and found them very friendly and outgoing. And I heard stories of sickness and this kind of thing happening of one island where they built a fallout shelter and they herded all the people inside and sprayed it with water for 2 days, horror stories coming out.
Yeah.
So I volunteered anyway and found myself in charge of a 40-foot ferro-cement boat, which was named the Spirit of Peace. And there were four of us, and we sailed off up to Mururoa. It was a pretty wild, wet trip, really. This boat was amateur built and rigged on a shoestring, and basically quite overweight and very wet in a seaway. But we got it to steer itself and got there and sailed into the danger zone and sailed up and down, just being watched by the French with their aircraft. But it was very windy, and it was too windy to fly the balloons. And we met up with the Free out there. She's an old Baltic trader which had left before us and had gone via Pitcairn Island. And meeting up in the open sea was quite tricky because we were using just sextant navigation.
Right.
And on a small boat and a big sea, it's very hard to get a good horizon, to get a decent sunshot. If you're within 5 miles accuracy, you're doing very well. It took us a while to find each other. but we did eventually, and I got some spectacular photos of the Free in a big seaway. That first time, it was just too rough to transfer between the ships, but later on it calmed down a bit, and they had a beautiful longboat, and they were able to row across, and we could visit each other and have lunch in the danger zone together and plan our tactics and so on.
Yeah.
So it's a long story, there was some sort of epic feats of seamanship went on there. Which, for myself, I saw myself as a sailor first and a protester second.
Yeah.
And some of the other crew were really protesters and not so much into the sailing side of things.
Yeah.
But it all balanced out in the end. And it made a huge difference there, particularly getting out on the ham radio. It just told the whole world, look, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And it embarrassed the French greatly, along with the Labour government at the time, with Norman Kirk was the Prime Minister. They sent a frigate up there as a protest boat. And, that was significant. And the Australian Postal Service had a strike. They wouldn't boycotted all mail from France.
Oh, yeah.
And all kinds of things happened like this. There were demonstrations up the streets. And the French stopped their testing in the atmosphere as a result of our protest.
Right.
Took them 2 years to dig their tunnels underground and prepare their gear. And then they started again underground.
Underground. Ah.
That's when the Rainbow Warrior started coming into it.
And, right, okay.
Other Greenpeace boats as well.
Yeah. So this kind of sort of predates that Greenpeace involvement in it a little bit.
We were the second year that it happened. The year before us, Greenpeace 3 went up. That's the Vega with David MacTaggart. He also went after we did during the same year on the 73. That's when he got his eye punched in and took the French to court and so on. Yes, he was part of that as well, but not at the same time as us. As we left the zone, he came into the zone, sort of thing, so kept the presence up there.
Tying these things together, this is the restoration of this boat, which is, you know, kind of a legacy for young people on the island, and your own sailing. Have you been sailing for your entire life? Is this something that you did as a young boy, or
pretty much,
in your blood?
I was very fortunate where I grew up. I was on the shore of Lake Windermere in northern England.
Yeah.
And at age 7 now, I was given a boat and allowed to row it in between the piers. Couldn't swim at that stage.
Yeah.
And the first sail I had was made out of a bed sheet, and the mast was held up with string. And
all right.
At the age of 8, I was dismasted right in the path of a steamer when the string broke.
This is on the lake.
Yes.
Yeah.
And holidays were a wonderful time there. But after I left school, I did an apprenticeship at a big shipyard 20 miles away, working on nuclear submarines and supertankers. And I just hated that with a passion.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't see any future for myself there.
Yeah.
So in my spare time, I designed and built a little boat. And after I finished my apprenticeship, I sailed her out to New Zealand.
Yeah.
So it was a year ago.
You just picked as far away as you could go and said, I'm going to go.
Pretty much. Well, I pushed off as far as the West Indies. It took three years sailing and working.
And how old were you at that point when you
did that? I was 23 when I left England.
Right, in this boat.
Yes.
Were you on your own?
I was on my own across the Atlantic and actually broke the single-handed record at the time.
Did you?
This little boat cost £400. You know, it was dead cheap.
That you'd built yourself.
Yeah. And then I had a crew with me in the West Indies, a Swedish boy, and we sailed all around the islands, 26 islands, living on $1 a day each until the money ran out. And I got a job and built up the coffers again, rebuilt my boat, and so carried on that way, yes.
And eventually you wound up in New Zealand.
Yes.
You still have that boat?
Not the original one, yeah. The original Cliss, but in New Zealand, after I'd sold her, I built a newer version, incorporating everything I'd learnt. And right. I had dreams of making some money with yacht design, but yeah. It's a very hard business to break into.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually still have that boat, the Cliss 2. She's moored in the inlet in Putrika Bay, and I do a bit of Wednesday night racing with her.
Right.
Yeah. And yes, it's still a good little cruising boat.
Yeah, so you've spent a life on the ocean with these things. And so now, and do you think that the sort of skills that you could, there's a couple of kids you got working on the boats, and they're are they learning a lot as they go along? I mean, is it something that you think they may pursue for their life?
Yeah, they're aged 19 and 17 now, I think it is.
Yeah.
And they're accomplished craftsmen, and they're working on their own account down
there.
We've run out of money for the Kate. It's been, since we launched her, we've got a bit done on her.
Yeah.
We got $5,000 from Rotary, for which we're really grateful, and we're pleased to work with Rotary. They're a great bunch of guys. That got spent on sort of finishing off what we couldn't accomplish on the shore.
Yeah.
So she's pretty well watertight on deck now.
Yeah.
But over the winter, we haven't done much on her, but the boys have had other work to keep going. And they also have a boat of their own now, which they're rebuilding and doing a lot of work on, yes.
And how much do you think this thing will take to get, sales and the whole thing?
The overall budget, if you paid retail price for everything, is just over 200 grand.
Right.
But we're getting a lot of materials donated, a lot of volunteer labour, we're able to keep our overheads down and to practically zero at present, working on the beach.
Yeah.
We're looking for about another 160 thousand. So we're applying to the various funding bodies and so on, but it's a lot of work and they're getting stiffer and stiffer as people have been trying to rot the system.
Yeah.
We have a lady who's working as a fundraising secretary now on that kind of work. But much of that funding is tagged. It has to be for specific parts of the project. This money we're fundraising for the raffle and the show is we can spend it how we want, basically.
Yeah, sure.
So it's important to have the community fully involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, various individuals on the island who have a bit of wealth have been very generous with their donations. Right. And we're continuing to look for that sort of money as well, yes.
So do you have any sort of, you anticipate when, how long the project might take you to?
Well, if we had enough money, we could have a full-time boat builder and a manager working on it and so on. We'd have her through in a year.
Yeah.
But at present, we had to drop everything to go back and make money, and that's really slowed things down.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
So, at Artworks, you're going to be talking about your experiences at Miraroa, and then you're going to be raising some money for the restoration project. So how much is it to get into the... On Friday,
the tickets are
$25.
$25 for the tickets. Yes, that's right. And we'll be selling raffle tickets on the night as well. So bring a bit of a spare cash.
Yeah,
there's half an hour of socialising beforehand.
Yep.
We open the doors at 7, and we'll get underway at 7:30 with the show. So, yeah. Well, last year I did that. I talked about my voyage from England in Cliss, and it was. I think most people really enjoyed it.
It was
a pleasant evening out. Yes.
Oh, good. Hey, Bernard, it sounds like an amazing project, and I really wish you guys all the best. And we'll do our bit to promote it on the radio. People coming to the show on the show is on at Artworks Theatre on the 25th of September. So that's next Friday, 7 p.m. And Bernard's going to be talking about his. Experiences in Muroroa, 73 protest adventure and idealism on the high seas, and they'll be doing some fundraising for the restoration project. And then hopefully, as the boat sort of comes up on the causeway, people will get a chance to pop by and have a chat and see the progress of the boat. That would be awesome.
Yeah, sure. As the weather gets better, we'll do some sausage sizzles on Saturday mornings down there. We did a bit of that last year. It was good fun. We met a lot of interesting people and made some good contacts.
Good.
Yes. And, we can show people around the boat and that, sure.
And, Bernard, what would be the best, if people wanted to find out some more information about the project, do you guys have a website, or is there some way that they could sort of...
Yes, website. If you Google Waiheke Working Sail, it will take you there.
Waiheke Working Sail, okay.
Otherwise, www.1waiheke, that's O-N-E-Waiheke, waihiki.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're probably better Googling it. So it's Waiheke Working Sale.
That's
Waiheke
right.
Working Sale. There can't be too many on that one.
And we have a Facebook page as well.
Okay.
Yes.
So you can check them out on Facebook or just Google Waiheke Working Sale if you're interested in finding out more information about the project, even making a donation. I'm sure that'd be most appreciated.
Yes, we have the Give a Little facility on the website. So cool. That's a very useful, easy way to put a bit of money and help the projects along. Yeah.
Okay.
We really need it.
Yes. Bernard, thank you very much for coming on the show I keep thinking this afternoon, but it's actually this morning. And one more time for you, if you're out there, make sure on the 25th of September, Friday, 7 p.m. up at Artworks Theatre is Bernard's presentation and fundraising for the project. And we'll try and stop it again at some point and we'll get an update as things evolve, hopefully over the summer. If you have a big boost of stuff happening, it'd be great to get you back in and talk some more about the project.
Yeah, sure, Brent. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Okay.
We'll keep in touch.
Yeah. That's me. Yeah, that was Bernard Rhodes talking about the Waiheke Working Sale project. And like I said, Friday at Artworks Theatre. Thanks again, Bernard, for coming in.
You've been listening to the Interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirawa.